First, I would like to acknowledge a lot of co-authors on this talk. Basically, I got a large crew that who collect data. I'm just a messenger here. I just report. Apurva Barman, he's a graduate student at A&M in College Station Entomology Department. R.B. Shrestha, Chen Chen, and Abhilash Balachandran are my student at Texas Tech. And Stan Carroll is in my program. Texas Agriculture Experiment Station, actually the name is a little different from a week or so ago. I'm making all kinds of jokes this week about our name change. We are called Texas AgriLife Research. That's it, not center or anything like that. Okay. This work actually began 7-8 years ago when Jim Leeser started looking at the compensation ability of cotton by manually removing early fruits. And he and his cohorts did for 3 years, removing whole bunch of fruits and all the fruits sometimes and so forth. But the bottom line is, what they reported is, when they removed all the first position fruits until the first flower, in the limited irrigation system, cotton would compensate. Or in fact, he said that it would overcompensate. And we said, well, does that really happen if insects are the players? And the, for the next 3 years, he and I, and with the bunch of, you know, the help from a bunch of our other colleagues and students and so forth, what we found was 20 to 25% fruit loss will be compensated by cotton in various systems. We are looking at, you know, for the drier system, it's still limited irrigation here. We didn't give a whole lot of water. For 3 years, research showed that we are pretty comfortable with saying that 20 to 25% fruit loss can be compensated. And again, all these research for the last 8 years or so are supported by Cotton Incorporated and state support programs. And currently, the last 2 years, what my group is doing is trying to quantify cotton compensation ability using, again, the same setup, Liguest bugs, under a rather high input drip irrigation production system. The premise of this research is trying to see what would be the potential of cotton to compensate if the production regime is, you know, receiving near 100% evapotranspiration water supplements, so that's a fuller irrigation, and higher level of nitrogen. And again, this is in the making right now. This is, I'm reporting only second year of, only 2 years of data now. We are not there yet, but I'm gonna give you some preliminary data we have on this. But we do have a completed report for the limited irrigation compensation test that we intend to publish sometime soon. Okay, back to this. We have 2 years of data. We began this in 06 and did just completed 07 data, except that I don't have the quality, lean quality data yet. But we intend to do at least for one more year and perhaps two more years because you'll see why. And I'll tell you now that we got a lot of variability in the data that we aren't too happy with. Okay, regarding methodology, we are using Liguest NIMS, second instars. When I say second instars, could be second or third instars, but we didn't want to use later instars, then they would become adult quickly. So typically, we like to use second instars released every week for 3 weeks, and we had selected two phenological stages. These are actually separate studies. Those are one pre-blooming study. What we mean by pre-blooming study is we release bugs for the first 3 weeks of squaring, are trying to time in such a way that our third, the first bloom occurs right after our third release. And the second test was where we keep plots, quote-unquote, bug-free until the first flower and then release bugs for the next 3 weeks. And the reason we release bugs for three consecutive weeks is to achieve a desired level or expected level of bug-induced fruit loss. Again, for both study setup, we have the same treatments. There were four treatments: spray control, on spread control, one ligase release per plant and three ligase release per plant. And we had 70 plants per plot receiving these bug treatments. So four reps, so 280 plants. So each data point we received for each treatment came from 280 plants. And as I mentioned right around the beginning of my talk, that we didn't have luxury of getting bugs delivered, so we had to do all kinds of prep work in the lab and rear them, and individuals were meticulously, you know, processing those and counting them and putting in a little vial and then doing. So there was a lot of quality control issue and so forth, but we feel very good about the about our crew, that they did the best they could. Sequence of experimental activities for each test. We had again first three weeks of bug release, and the last week we would go and do the complete plant mapping and then spray all the plots. So again, starting from the very, very left, first we plant map all the plots using Cartman. I'm not going to show any Cartman data today because of the time, but we did extensive amount of Cartman work on this. And then we'll release bugs and then spray the spray plot and continue for the next 3 weeks and do the in-season last or the final plant mapping. That's not the pre-harvest, but the in-season plant mapping. And then keep the plots bug-free for the rest of the season. Okay. Here is the summary of the effect of bug release activities in our test. Again, 2006 data on the upper panel and the 2007 on the lower panel. Y-axis indicates the percent fruit loss. In this particular case, it's near 100% square. Depending on the plots and situations in the year, could have been small bowls or flowers appeared already, but by and large, it's a pre-flower, so it's actually percent square loss, okay? So, first we released bugs for the first 3 weeks, then appeared the bloom, and then do the plant mapping, and rest you already know what we did, okay? Same 2007. Let's review the last charts for each year, because that's our goal. We want to achieve certain level of fruit loss. Okay. And you can see the perfect nice staircase effect. When you put bugs, you know, you get more damage. What we failed to do, or we were unable to do, is we could not quantify the survivorship or the mortality of the bugs that we released in the field. We tried very hard. We have some data, probably not worth reporting here. We aren't very comfortable with. Tina, I think you have that situation too. Maybe I need to learn from you and how to do it. But again, the only thing we have is the percent fruit loss that we achieved from that level of bug release. Okay. 2006, we got as high as 25% fruit loss here. And 2007, we had general increase in the fruit loss for across all the treatments, and all the way to 33% fruit loss in 3PP and 29% here. But you know, in the high plains, typically it's 90 to 95% fruit retention through the first flower. So this is not unusual in our situation. Okay, then let's review the pre-harvest plant mapping. Just I'm going to show you one slide showing the open bowls or the harvestable bowls per plant. 2006, no significant difference in the number of harvestable bowls per plant, and not even trend. Basically, they were similar. And 2006 was very hot and dry, and regardless of how much water we put through drip, the environment was not very conducive, so we got a lot of natural shedding of the fruits on these two treatments. Perhaps the similarity here is not due to the compensatory potential here, but the plants shedding fruits from the first two treatments. Okay, but nonetheless, they were all similar. 2007, you can see a little trend here, and significantly actually, 3PP had significantly fewer bowls. What about, two bowls difference, 1.5 bowls between this one and this one. But these three treatments, SC, UC, and 1PP, were statistically similar. Let's look at the lint yield. Again, I'm going to show you only total lint yield. I have dissected with the first position, second position, all that kind of good stuff. But let's keep it simple now, for now. In 2006, you might recall that the number of bolts were similar across treatments, but in the yields, actually numerically, it was all over the board. Almost 300 pounds difference here, but no significant, because there was so much variation in the field. We had just not, you know, less than acceptable the crop that year. Let's look at 2007. 2007 had really tight data set. I mean, you could see the significant separation here. And let's see, it's about, 100 pounds difference between the spray control and 3PP. So the take-home message here is up to 29% here were fully compensated, but 33% fruit loss could not be compensated. Let's move to the early bloom study. Again, same setup, except that we had plots bug-free until the first flower, and then release bugs for the next 3 weeks, and then kept the field bug-free the remainder of the season, and same in 2007. Let's look at the data. Same situation here, except I'll point out the percentage here. Oh, about 18% fruit loss in 2006 in the worst treatment. That's percent fruit loss after 4 weeks into flowering, because we started from the first flower. And here, about 25% fruit loss, and it's about 20%. Number of bolts, no significant difference across, but you can see some kind of trend here. 3PP seems to be kind of gaining momentum here, and both years similar. But let's, one thing I want to point out, that particularly look at right here, all A's and all A's here, but if we look at the yield, it's not surprising that the lint yield is, total lint yield is not significantly different, because the number of bolts per plant were not significantly different from each other either. And this parameter is derived from the bowl data. Although we had 112 pounds difference between the SC and 3PP treatments. However, here, it appears that the 3PP compensated fully, although numerically 180 pounds difference here. But these two, I was really surprised to see significantly lower yield. It's 300 pound difference. So I have no idea. We checked the data and everything looks same. Tina, you might educate me afterwards, okay? But I'm not going to make any further comments on this than this. Okay, summary. I know I already got a note from David. Okay, that's second note. Pre-bloom, plants were able to compensate up to 30% fruit loss 4 weeks into squaring. Early bloom, it appears that plants should compensate at least 20% fruit loss, but we need more data on this. However, protection of 25 to 30% fruit loss during early squaring and 20% during early flowering may not be necessary in our region. And this is basically, I'm deriving this from my limited irrigation test. So with that, I'll stop, and I appreciate CI supporting this effort. Thank you. I guess I don't have time for questions, right?